T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Breaking Bears news. The Bears have traded 3 first-round picks, Khalil Mack and Danny Parkin's dog Omar, for superstar quarterback Deshaun Watson. Not good, dog fans. Keep it here as we continue to cover this barking news story. On Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Talk about an opinion that aged poorly immediately. I said that I would trade my dog, the only dog that's ever been my dog, for Deshaun Watson, my favorite college football player of all time, at the time my favorite player in the NFL. And 2 days later, a scandal broke that continued to break and get worse, that amounted to a couple of dozen allegations of sexual impropriety against Deshaun Watson that is still playing its way out. That was an opinion that aged poorly. Obviously now, I would not do that trade anymore.
Not good, dog fans.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't even know. An opinion, a willingness, it's a declaration of non-love for your dog. It is a ranking. It is a declaration of ranking of priorities that includes your dog that I don't think is recoverable. I think Omar is always going to be the dog you were willing to trade, no matter what happens on the flip side of that storyline.
I guess, trust me, he looks at me differently in the house. I definitely feel a little judged.
You know what he's thinking? He's thinking, I don't know if my love has ever lasted.
That's right.
I don't know if it is.
And honestly, like, Steph looks at me a little differently too, because she's like, hey, the dog was a birthday gift to me. Like, who the hell are you out here trying to trade the dog for a quarterback? Like, that's ridiculous.
It's not even your dog. You're willing to trade your wife's dog.
It's our dog, right? Once you get married, it's all under one roof. But John McClain, the general, he's been covering pro football in Houston basically longer than there has been pro football in Houston. He's one of the most revered beat writers in the entire game. He has a story that says a trade of Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins could happen by the end of the week. And it certainly is hoped to be completed by the trade deadline, which is November 2nd. But I'll just read from this story here, because they say the Texans could finally be getting closer to trading quarterback Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins, a team they play November 7th, even though the NFL trade deadline isn't until November 2nd. If the Texans and Dolphins are unable to consummate the trade this week, they want to get it done by the league's deadline. The Dolphins have been talking to the Texans about Watson off and on for months, and those talks have intensified into serious negotiations. After losing to Jacksonville in London, their 5th consecutive loss, the Dolphins seemed more determined to finally execute the Watson trade. General manager Nick Caserio has been asking for 3 first-round draft choices and 2 second-round picks. Watson has a no-trade clause and would have to approve the trade. Miami is a team that's been high on his list since he told the Texans he wanted to be traded after the 2020 season. The Dolphins were one of 8 teams showing interest early in the offseason until they found out Watson wanted to be traded. Like the other teams, they backed away and put their interest on hold while 22 civil lawsuits were filed against Watson, accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct. Police and NFL investigations are ongoing. At one point, the FBI looked into it. Teams that have been interested in Watson have told the Texans they want the quarterback's legal issues to be settled before making the deal. Watson reported to training camp to keep him from getting fined $50,000 a day. He goes to work each day, works out on his own, attends meetings, and is then inactive on game days.
Well, you know, it's fascinating, and we've been waiting for something to happen or wondering if anything was going to happen. This is really, to me, about which NFL owner is going to be willing to put him on the field and deal with all of this. And, of course, what the compensatory price will be and how that now the situation changes it. But the Dolphins are a mess. They are 1-5. Brian Flores is under fire. They are pretty sure, I think, now that Tua is not their guy. But, I mean, it's a little early to be declaring that. But they're a mess deeper than that. Stephen Ross is an embarrassment as an owner for a lot of different reasons down there. So it's interesting. So if Stephen Ross is willing to do this, boy, it changes the storyline a lot. And already, you know, pretty much everybody in Miami hates you as it is. So maybe you and you're kind of deriled around the league a little bit as it is Stephen Ross. So maybe he's willing to take the arrows of trading for and then playing Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things here that jump out to me. Like in the story from John McClain in the Houston Chronicle, he says teams that have been interested in Watson have told the Texans they want the quarterback's legal issues to be settled before making the deal. And then he says that the trade could happen this week. That there's no indication that that is going to happen, right?
Right.
Now, maybe he knows something, or maybe the teams know something, and we're going to get some sort of
settlement.
Yeah.
Get some sort of settlement coming up here.
Maybe. But that's the first thing that I think of is like, how can the trade be imminent and you want the legal stuff to be resolved first, and the legal stuff is very far from resolved. So either there's going to be some sort of settlement coming, or there is the team is going to waive that concern. And then the next question I'd have is does the NFL then step in? Like the Dolphins don't trade for Deshaun Watson to sit him, right? Like they would be trading for Deshaun Watson to play Deshaun Watson, because if you're trading first round picks and you're 1-5, you're not going to trade assets for Deshaun Watson, sit him, and then make those first round picks a top 3 pick in the draft. Like your goal is going to be to play him. So then does the NFL step in and say, no, we're suspending you. We're suspending you for 4 games, 8 games, a year, like whatever the case may be.
Both of those things would seem to need to be settled by the time a trade comes along here, unless the Texans have now lowered their price to kicking the can even further down the road. Like it's not next year's number one draft pick. It's 2 years from now and 3 years from now, because you can do those, right?
You can't trade in back-to-back years. So if it was 3 first-round picks, it would be 2022, 24, 26. Or if you wanted to wait, it would have to be, I think, 23, 25, 27. I don't think you can ever trade first-round picks in successive years.
In successive years. And you can't – but you can't trade – was it 4 years or is it 5 years?
It's 3 years into the future. So,
yeah. So can they?
Oh no! You know what? I'm conflating it. You can trade it in the NFL in back-to-back years, but it's 3 years into the future. In the NBA, it's you can't trade. You have to have a first-round pick every other year. I conflated the two sports. My bad.
So they could trade the 2023 and 2024 first-round picks. They could drop the price to those 2 first-round picks in addition to other stuff.
Yeah.
And that way, the urgency is not necessarily there for the Dolphins to get them on the field and negate the power of this particular number one pick.
Yes.
Also, this year's quarterback class is widely thought at this point anyway to be trash. Like there's nothing out there for a QB1 that has people jumping. As always, somebody emerges, but just because they emerge doesn't mean they're any good, right? Like people are saying that maybe Pickett, the kid from Pitt, like has a shot to jump up there for QB1. So it's not a great year to have that top pick if you're looking for a quarterback.
Right, which is why the Lions are forever cursed. Like they'll be the worst team in football, get the number one pick, and have to take like a defensive end. Like that seems to be where this is going.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, at least we'll always have the Lions.
Yeah. It's helpful.
Thank God.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's great.
We need them. We need them.
We need the Lions.
Because this is, man.
And their kneecap eating coach.
I can't.
Who cries.
We have now 2 weeks in a row, two Hall of Fame to be quarterbacks, clowning, full on clowning on the Chicago Bears. And what's funny is I'm thinking about these are the same two quarterbacks. Every time we talk about how national embarrassment sometimes is what it takes to get the Bears to be active, right?
Yeah.
And I bring up the 250 burgers that they gave up on either side of a bye week under Mark Trestman, and we're all convinced that's when George McCaskey was like, all right, yeah, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to have to fire everybody. Same two quarterbacks, clowning on the Bears on the field, putting up 50 and then 50. And now it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers going on McAfee and saying, well, is it true? Do I own them or not? Yes, I think I do. And I don't think this is the last time I'm going to own them. Thanks very much. And then Brady comes out and does what he does today. So it's like there's no way this is going over well. This moment.
Oh, you think?
I don't think this is going over well.
Breaking news, losing to the Packers and getting mocked nationally for 2 days. Not going over well.
Well, but I mean, it might be going so badly that it's the kind of thing that pushes you to an in-season firing, which they've never done.
All right, well, let's think about that for a second. So this is Tom Brady with Jim Gray, their weekly show, discussing... seemingly unprompted, Tom Brady's thoughts on what Aaron Rodgers said about the Bears.
You know, I was studying a little bit on the Bears and the Packers and watched a lot of that. That was another great game. And I actually, before we get started, I wanted to say congrats to Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, not only is he a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, you know, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And it's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now. Part owner of Soldier Field, so he's got a great career beyond football.
What do you own, Tom? How about upstate New York? You're 32-3. Have you staked a claim on Buffalo yet?
Not yet. Nope. I want to settle for a few things less than that. I'm cool with owning a few, just a few lucky autographs. That's what I'm the owner of.
How about possibly New York City? You're 30-8 against the Jets.
Oh, no, I'll just take the color green. I don't need the Jets. I'll just own the color green. I think that's a little bit better.
Couple of cornballs.
Right? Oh, my God. It sounds so uncomfortable when he tries to be like a hip, young, trash-talking dude. He's just so not that guy. And this is him trying to do it with the help of some writers, I think, you know? And it's like, oh, I own the color green. I'll take the what? What the hell are you even talking about?
I think he's talking about money. I think he's talking about money. He wants to own as much green as he possibly can.
Is that trash talk? So for Hub and for everybody who's saying Tom Brady would never do what Aaron Rodgers did, is this Aaron Rodgers trash talking? No, he's just kind of co-opting Tom Brady trash talking. It's just him kind of co-opting it and sort of passing it off on Aaron and giving Aaron crap.
The idea that Tom Brady doesn't trash talk is so ludicrous. Someone sent me the video because Hub said he would never do it to the fans. Someone sent me a video of him running off the field in an AFC playoff game against the Steelers, taunting Steelers fans as he was running off the field. Like this, there is no one who is above this in like that arena of competitiveness and testosterone and machismo. And people are like, well, Barry Sanders would hand the ball back to the referee. Okay, so I'm not speaking in complete absolutes, and I don't mean to be, but this idea that what Rodgers did was somehow like a singular act of disrespect and defiance, like the one time the crowd mic picks up the player, it's something so offensive, but we believe that it never happens because we've never heard it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I think that's probably true. And look, I mean, people do that. I've moved past that, and like the baggery for Aaron to me is the long dissertation of how he lives above the fray and then just dipping his foot right back into the fray as he does, which I thought Olin called out quite beautifully yesterday.
Yeah, a decent amount of hypocrisy there. But no, I do not think what Brady is doing there is trash-talking the Bears. And to be honest, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't own Soldier Field. He owns the Bears. The Park District owns Soldier Field.
You're telling me even with Rodgers taking over ownership, we're still going to have turf issues?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's good, but he's not God. you can't solve all of those problems. I mean, come on. That's
so even if Aaron Rodgers owned the Bears, then the Fires still get to play there? This is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
Spring Awakening still gets to trump a Bears game if need be?
Yeah, Kanye gets to put his house on the at the 50-yard line. Of course. He can only do so much given the current restrictions of Soldier Field. But I don't imagine that the McCaskey family is loving this week. What we will not know until their actions at the end of the year, because it's not like anyone's getting an interview with George McCaskey anytime soon or Virginia McCaskey, is do they believe that Matt Nagy is the best person to develop Justin Fields? Like, Matt Nagy came out on Monday and gave you his itemized list of everything that was so impressive from Justin Fields, right? Plays 5, 6, and 7, and then plays 37 through 44, like whatever it was.
34 through 44. Come on, Danny.
My bad. Matt Nagy genuinely believes it, and it is there. It's not there in the masses, but it is there, that there has been progress and moments and all of that. But in one ledger, you have another loss to the Packers, the embarrassment of we own you, a 500 record and all that. And in the other, you basically have Justin Fields. And so he's the most valuable thing. So if Matt Nagy can convince everybody that he is the best person to develop and nourish and harness the most valuable asset for the team, I think it's still in play that he stays.
Yeah, I that's clearly the dynamic that takes place up there, and we saw it. It is relatively easy to sell the McCaskey family that you know something about football, because they do not know much about football and building a structure and building a team and all of that, clearly. So Pace and Nagy were able to sell them on that still this past offseason. Can they sell them on that still now? And I think the more this goes and the more ridiculous the offense seems and incongruous some of the game planning seems, and the worse and the consistency with which Fields puts up bad numbers, because the numbers are really bad right now, regardless of what we see in terms of his development, I think they're going to come to the realization that Matt Nagy's not the guy. I really do. I think you're right that it's in play, but I think they're coming to that realization. One thing on that point, it was just funny to me that Dan Durkin is brought on by Lawrence to do these hardcore film breakdowns, and they're usually really, really good, right? Durkin, like, well, look at the game, look at the tape and everything, and he brought him on today, and the first question was, why can't the Bears find explosive plays? And Dan's answer essentially was, The coach needs to be changed. That was like the guy who breaks it down week to week and looks for the most minute things and how can we do this, et cetera. Most people are throwing up their hands now and saying Matt Nagy's not good at this. He can't do this. And I think the McCaskeys are going to get there too, if they're not there already.
I do too. Like I said yesterday, I think the overwhelming likelihood is that Matt Nagy does not come back next year because Justin Fields' development is more important than anything for the Bears, other than potentially a new stadium out in Arlington Heights in terms of the value of the franchise. Like, Justin Fields is what matters more than anything else, so I don't think they will roll the dice and take the risk on entrusting that to Matt Nagy based on 4 years of offensive futility. But we do have to be open to the possibility that the Justin Fields that we have seen for the last four games is not the Justin Fields that we see for the last four games of the season. Like, you can improve a lot over 15 games. And if Justin Fields is starting to click and blossom and string together 300-yard passing games and three touchdown games, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which seems ridiculous right now. But it might be then that Justin Fields is so great that he's the thing that saves Matt Nagy and it's a smokescreen. But then that will be very muddy for the McCaskey family to sift through when they are not tape grinders and football people and all of that. Like,
I hope that's the case, man. I hope that's the case, and we're in that kind of situation right now. You know, it's bad, and it's like we will watch with the eyes on development and trying to be patient. But if you're just like an NFL analyst, like Greg Rosenthal writes his quarterback index every week on NFL.com and just ranks the quarterbacks top to bottom. Justin Fields is number 29. Number 29 right now, just based on like, and I get it, just based on like watching the games week to week. And it's not fair necessarily, but these games exist. These games are happening. They are being played. And as you're watching them, it's not a good look right now. And I, how patient will the McCaskies be on that front?
Yeah, no one knows. And what we do know is, like you mentioned, the weeks of embarrassment. And if they think of this weekend and week as embarrassing, it's the type of thing that obviously could linger for them, just based on precedent, right? This was a tough week. And by the way, like Matt Nagy's done plenty of it to himself, right? Like the offensive numbers should be damning enough, right? Last in yards per play, worst offense over a four-year period, like all that stuff, right? Like the data is there. But, man, so we're saying that Matt Nagy's job security is more tenuous this week than last week because a crowd mic picked up Aaron Rodgers yelling at a fan who flipped him off? Like, that's got to feel very powerless for Matt Nagy if he really does believe that Justin Fields is improving week to week and the thing that sticks with his bosses is a soundbite that should have never got out that he has absolutely no control over.
But hey, if the humanity of the ownership is something that used to your advantage because you sell them that you know what you're doing, then the humanity of ownership feeling embarrassed as they get trash talked by two quarterbacks is something you're going to have to live with as well.
Yeah.
These are sentient beings. I believe the McCaskies are sentient beings.
Yes, I think all evidence points to that. That's
There's no way to know.
That's true. That's true. I've never touched one.
Mark Grody joins us in studio at 4 o'clock. Lance Briggs responded to Eddie Jackson, and I'm wondering if all of this noise on the outside ever has an impact for the team inside the building. Next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What separates you? You gonna make a tackle or you gonna get the football?
Rolling left after the fake. He's gonna air it out. Deep downfield. Has a man open. It's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson. And he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. He's got the great arm, we know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in.
No touch there by either defender, which would have put the ball down at the 12.
Everybody can tackle. A million people get tackled. Everybody can't get the ball.
Except Eddie Jackson, bottom of the hour, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. You know the story by now. Eddie Jackson says everyone can tackle. He can't tackle. Lance Briggs criticizes him for not tackling on NBC Sports Chicago's football after show. Eddie Jackson tweets out a Pro Football Focus article from the end of Lance Briggs' career talking about Briggs' missed tackles. Then he deletes the tweet, and it's just more internet drama around your Chicago Bears. But last night on the Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Big Ant Heron, Lance Briggs, it was his first time being able to respond to Eddie Jackson. And right now, this is not a fair fight because Briggs, very popular, Eddie Jackson, very much not. So let's listen to how Lance Briggs handled the whole thing.
Folks end up noticing on Twitter briefly in a since deleted tweet that Eddie Jackson ended up quote tweeting with sort of a emoji, however you may picture a emoji, right, with something from 2011 where Pro Football Focus was showing, I guess you had had a series of missed tackles going into that period of time and saying that you had had a lot of missed tackles at that point.
In 2011?
In 2011, yeah.
Okay, so 2011,
you've been at it for a minute.
Okay, that was all pro year. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. We'll go ahead.
So, Lance Briggs, you had some speaks on Sunday. Where do you sit with, because we talked about Eddie Jackson last week also. Eddie Jackson's name comes up quite a bit here.
For the right reasons or the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to respond to Eddie Jackson. You know, in my opinion, like the city has spoken, and I don't. And
on
I,
your
I,
behalf, effectively,
correct,
there's been a
correct.
Lot the of folks
spoken,
who have
you know,
come out.
And as far as it goes, like it doesn't. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what the rest of the city says, because Eddie, he puts that gear on. He steps out there on Sunday. We need him to play well. Mm-hmm. We need him to play. Now I'll tell you right. I may not say a lot about. In response to what he said right now, but I'm going to have a lot to say come Sunday, you know, because I'm going to evaluate his play. That's the way I do everybody else. And whether if you play well, I'm going to praise you. If you don't, then I'm going to be honest with you. To give even a little perspective, you know, when I played, I may have missed the most tackles in that 3-year span, you know, but I had the most tackles in that 3-year span as well. But
you're around the ball a lot, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And the other thing, you know, if I missed the tackle, you know, or if I missed a series of tackles, I know what I'm going to have to endure on the sideline. You know, I'm sitting next to Urlacher. He's going to ask me what's wrong. You know, Bob Babbage is going to come up and he's going to cuss me out. You know, Lovey don't cuss, but Lovey's coming over too. You know, there's going to be an injured Mike Brown from one side of the field that's going to hobble all the way over, and he's going to give me a piece of his mind. Everybody's going to give me a piece of their mind. You know, that's and that's one of the things where I'm like, listen, I'm not going to go through this again. You're not going to have to worry about having to come up and talk to me about missing another tackle. I'm not going to miss a tackle. I know you guys, I know defensive line, I know you guys are busting your tail just so that you guys can get to that quarterback or get that ball out sooner, get pressure, you know, and I know everybody else is fighting so that for a player like me can get in position to make a play. We all fight to get in that position to make a play, and I'm not going to let them down. So, you know, when I speak on Eddie Jackson or anybody else on the Bears defense, offense, special teams, it's understanding that everybody else is doing it the best they can to get you in position. When your number is called, you've got to make the play. I'm not going to let the guy next to me down. Mm-hmm. They're dependent on me. All these guys, you know, it might be everybody's doing all their jobs. They get a crack replace where the receiver comes in and cracks the nearest outside defender, leaving him one-on-one. We would have this a lot with Adrian Peterson, get him one-on-one with the corner, you know, because if they feel like in a one-on-one, they felt like Adrian Peterson was the better guy, you know. And so there are a lot of times where Peanut had the one-on-one with Adrian Peterson, and Peanut found a way to get him down. And when you do that, you get a lot of praise, but it's also one of those things where for him, it's like, I can't let the man next to me down. Like I know what I have to do. I know that right now my number's called, you know, and I won't fail.
Twitter was not, for a lot of your career, Twitter didn't exist, kind of came into the fore. I don't remember exactly what year, but towards the end of your career, Twitter started becoming a bigger deal.
A bigger deal.
The reaction, like there was a point earlier in the season where there's a clip that NBC Sports Chicago posted where Alex was kind of calling out Eddie about a certain moment in the game, and it was noticed that Eddie Jackson liked that tweet, you know, where Alex was kind of calling him out in the moment. He seemed to take a slightly different approach, and like we just said, he deleted the tweet since then. Maybe it's one of those things where, hey, it's out there on Twitter. He had a whether it's a lapse in judgment or however we want to term it, he took it down at this point. But from your time, where it, when you were on the other side of that and folks are evaluating your play, folks are passionate about Bears football and trying to figure out why something wasn't happening, why a game wasn't won, and occasionally there'd be an analyst who played the game just like you're doing now, who's evaluating that and seeing what Lance Briggs is or isn't doing.
No.
How, on when you were in that seat, how difficult was it at times to hear that, to take that in, or were you able to just block all that noise out?
It wasn't difficult for me because I somebody was going to have to pay for it. You know, that's the beauty of football. You know, the beauty of football for me is that and I don't know who it's going to be. I just know that come Sunday, somebody's going to pay for that comment. Somebody's going to pay for whatever it is that pissed me off during that week. It might be a guard. It might be a center. It might be the fullback. Might be the tailback. Whoever it is, might be a center or a receiver coming across the field. But I'm going to hit you as hard as I possibly can, and I'm going to feel a whole lot better at it after 60 minutes.
It's good stuff last night with Ant Heron and Lance Briggs. All I'll say for Eddie Jackson is, he better not make an obvious miss on a tackle in space against the Bucks.
Or on the football field. Not in space or on the football field.
That's a good point. That's a good point. The football field would actually be the worst place for him to miss the tackle. That's why I'm glad you're here, Shane.
I'd love Eddie Jackson to go to space right now.
Yeah. I agree.
Great. Put him in space.
Doesn't need to tackle in space. Nobody gets paid for tackling in space.
No.
And Jeff Bezos doesn't have to pay taxes on it either.
It's true.
Go.
All right, well, maybe we just solved the problem.
Welcome to Ask a Libertarian.
get Eddie Jackson on the next Blue Orbit.
Well,
it's called, flight.
They clearly had a collective accountability on the Lance Briggs, Urlacher, Lovie Smith defensive teams. They clearly would, and he got specific. He mentioned Bob Babich, which is the linebacker coach. So it's got to be either Deshae Townsend or Sean Desai, who's getting in Eddie Jackson's face, or ideally some players. If it's not the players, it's got to be a coach, and that can go all the way up to Matt Nagy. So this is why I look for the accountability thing and why I wonder about, like, all right, if Mario Edwards commits a penalty, does he end up sitting out for a few plays or the rest of the game? Like, and why I'm looking towards Nagy for that, because we people are wondering if Nagy holds guys accountable, if there are coaches who hold these guys accountable for this stuff. And I genuinely don't know if they are holding Eddie Jackson accountable for missed tackles, or are they letting him define what's important because they do want him to be ball hawking and they don't want to piss him off.
We've seen a few instances, right? Mario Edwards getting subbed out of the game, not going back in last when he has the personal foul. Jalen Johnson with the letter of being fined for showing up at 8:16 for the 8:15 meeting.
Those are good.
Right?
I want that.
No, of course. I think everybody does, So what level of accountability is there for Eddie Jackson? I don't know, but the little glimpses that we've gotten into it, it does seem like there is some sort of culture of accountability for poor behavior, poor performance. Now, maybe there's a difference between mental errors like personal foul penalties and being late to a team meeting and what they perceive to as physical errors with tackling. You know, you've talked about benching Eddie Jackson. I don't think that's coming. Frankly, tackling isn't why he got paid all the money that he got paid, and they can't really afford it because he's going to be on the team for the next 2 years. So I don't think a benching's coming, but some other form of discipline. My guess is he's getting plenty of accountability in those film sessions.
Hope so.
Right?
Hope so. I mean, that's the way, and that's the way these former players want it to be. Like, they can't help themselves. I mean, first of all, obviously, they're getting paid to do it, but they're like, all right, is somebody telling these guys to show up and do that? Because if not, then maybe I will. And some of them, at their best, really feel a sense of pride. Like, hey, you're wearing that uniform. You're supposed to be tougher, supposed to be stronger and give a crap. But also, the game changes. That's what I'm wondering. Like, I'm wondering if those defensive coaches are as disappointed in Eddie about the tackling as Lance Briggs and others are as they watch. I don't know the answer to that.
I assume the answer is yes.
Hope so.
Right? Football people love tackling. Who doesn't want these guys to tackle? And some of the efforts have been so horrendous that it would be impossible to imagine him not getting chastised in those meetings. Mark Grody in studio. You'll hear from coaches and players, including Justin Fields, at 4 o'clock. We Spiegs' baseball night at home with his friends, and we grade his charcuterie board. Next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Goes to left. Altuve has tied it.
Mark Grody in studio in 15 minutes. Justin Fields in his own words on his progress coming up. Spiegs had the boys over for a baseball night. He was the host. How'd it go?
You know, the Tin Lizzy was blaring out of the speakers. That's a band, Danny. It was lovely, man. It was lovely having the boys over. First of all, the talking about stuff in your life with your friends, it matters. And, you know, personalities and coworkers in our business, I tend to talk about that with people in our business. Don't you? Like just stuff that comes up. It's good to discuss things with friends in other walks of life who have experience with people. And what do we call these? Contemporaries? Friends? It's interesting. I don't do it very much, is what I'm saying. As an adult male with a family, I tend not to reach out to these kinds of people enough in my life.
And but your wife was out of town, so you had an opportunity.
100%. 100% correct. Opportunity and sports as an excuse / backdrop for such things.
Right, because then there can be awkward silence and just like, oh, it's just guys being dudes watching the game.
100%. 100%. But in the meantime, I had some like wonderful conversations with contemporaries about actual things in life. And I think that idea has a future. What do you think about that?
What do you guys think? Talking about things with people?
Yeah. Good to have friends you could trust, man.
Yeah
right?
This is a breakthrough idea.
What's it like?
What do they talk back to you and stuff? Do they respond?
They responded. They had thoughts. They were supportive. Yeah. It was fascinating. Yeah, I didn't know it was still something that could happen.
Yeah, my friends, there will be a lot of ball busting and making fun of you in there, but you'll get to the supportive. Like that's our love language, you know? So
Yes. That's
beautiful that you guys are able to cut through that. Maybe when we reach our 70s, we can get there as well. That's nice.
Wow. This is just untoward.
It's beautifully put.
All right, stop delaying the inevitable.
All right, yeah.
Go ahead.
This is
so
a trash ass charcuterie board.
Whoa.
This is trash ass. Number
really?
One, Speaks. Yeah. How many guys did you have? Because this looks like it should feed one household rat pet.
Well, first of all, share the picture, Shane.
I did. I tweeted it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
@Shane_Reardon.
There was supposed to be four of us, okay. And there ended up being three of us because somebody had to cancel. So there were three people total. And I had not eaten dinner. Okay. I was looking forward
to
having
cheeses, some cut up salami.
Okay, but Danny,
yes, some
Danny, you're not giving it enough credence. It's not just two cheeses. This is one maybe small block of cheddar cheese.
It's half of a cheddar block. I have the other half in the fridge
block.
Ready to go.
And then we have half of a mini wheel of brie.
Yep, I had the other half ready to go. I was going to do a refill at like inning five.
We have about 9 crackers here, some kind of trash multigrain cracker that's just going to, the seeds are just going to get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
We have maybe 15 olives and then a quarter of a small salami stick cut up very unevenly. Then what I want you to notice here, the last fragrance you want filling a room when there's just three or four of you hanging out is garlic. There is an entire dish
of, I'd assume, roasted, marinated in its own oil, garlic cloves.
I eat that stuff. I eat that stuff like candy.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
And so did my guests.
My Lord's piece.
Absolutely. Take a piece of cheese, piece of salami, and a roasted piece of garlic on one of those everything crackers. The crackers were kind of lame, actually. I'll give you that on the crackers.
So,
all right, cracker draft.
I'll take Mike Bibby.
Give me a minute on that one.
I don't understand what he's saying.
Like white guy dressed.
Yeah. No. Thanks. Okay. I was afraid that's what you meant.
Speaks, we have a little dish here for the olive pits.
And, yes.
And Tanny couldn't help but notice that you couldn't help yourself. You had to have one olive and put the discard the pit before you took the picture to send us.
I wanted people to know where the pits go.
Sure.
So I'm like,
you
got
to establish where the pits belong. You have to. It's rule number one of a great party.
Don't you think so? Otherwise, the pits end up back in the dish with the olives, and it's a disaster.
No, people just ball them up in a napkin or something and then dispose of them themselves.
Suck them in your couch cushions.
Yeah.
Your evolved friends with their empathy and their feelings just put the olive pits back into the dish?
We just talked about olives for a long time yesterday. We talked about the good ones, the bad ones. You couldn't even provide a stuffed olive for your friends? You're making them discard of their own pits?
That's fair. That's fair. I chose those olives. Truth be told, and I'm a little ashamed, I didn't go to the olive bar. I bought a prepacked batch of olives that was there with the prepacked garlic.
Okay, quick follow-up here. So I'm looking at the cheese and the salami. One of my favorite things at Mariano's is the quick grab-and-go cheese and salami packs that they have. It's already sliced up for you, very high-quality meats and cheeses. Is that what you got here, or just slice this up yourself?
No, I sliced that up myself. But it is that Mariano's. It's the one here in the South Loop that has, like, the fancy cheeses with the fancy salamis and the fancy crackers.
And you totally avoided the fancy cheeses and the fancy salamis and the fancy crackers.
Hey, it's like a 5-year hard cheddar. I don't
5 years?
That used to bring in 50-year cheddar.
Please, huh?
We'll talk about a downgrade from our old coworker.
Man.
Yeah.
5-year aged cheddar.
Fun fact, I actually don't like the 10, 11, 12-year-old cheddar.
What about the 18?
It's too gritty. It's too gritty. It's got too much fall apart to it. You can't have that.
I guess my thought was that there's not enough variety. Only one meat? Only two cheeses?
Yeah.
I feel like there should have been more.
Yeah, a little prosciutto down there, maybe.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. I could have doubled up on the meat. You guys haven't even gotten to my biggest fail, which is the lack of a fig jam. A little sweet jam to go with the spiciness of the peppers and or the olives and or the cheese and on the crackers.
I mean, I'm glad you said it and not me.
Right. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed I had no fig jam.
Well, you got to add a little dessert there, even if it's not on the tray. Just something for later. A little coffee cake with some coffee. It's a late game last night.
Chocolate-covered pretzels. I had chocolate-covered pretzels from Trader Joe's. That was the sweet option for later in the evening.
I just don't feel like there's enough substance there for your guests. It was implied that people had to bring their own meals. You had people over for a doubleheader baseball game, and everyone's leaving your party hungry.
It's possible. It's possible they left hungry. But I had a really good scotch. I had the Aberlour Abunad, which is a phenomenal Highland scotch. And then they brought rye. They brought rye, and including Shane, I know you like bourbon. Do you like rye? The Northern Harvest varietal from Crown Royal? They brought
Shane's got an important phone call here. He's got to attend to.
Rosemary is calling me right now.
Rosemary's on the line here. Hang on. So,
Rosemary.
We must wait.
Our travel secretary?
No.
Hey. Yes. Yes, it is Shane.
Oh, it's Joe Flom.
Yes, that Rosemary.
Oh,
that makes more sense.
Oh, I got trouble.
Yeah, so I do still have the reservation, but I'm going to be that guy, and I had two guests cancel, so is it possible to go down to two people?
Oh, we shouldn't have this on air.
I agree.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Dump them.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Did you think that was Joe Flom calling to critique my charcuterie plate?
That's the first thing that pops in my head.
For sure. Because he does listen, but I knew they were calling to confirm
that was real?
Yeah, that was real. Was it real? Yeah, that was real.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be a good bit.
Yeah,
he looked at me like, should I take this now? I was like, yes, absolutely. Because I was hoping
more important.
I was hoping it was Joe. Didn't have the hotline number. It was critiquing the charcuterie.
So, just now you know, I'm going to Rosemary Friday.
Enjoy.
Can't believe it. How is that place? You ever been?
No. You got any recommendations? Let me know.
Well, I recommend Speaks Pays again.
Yeah. That would be nice. And I recommend talking with your friends about your feelings.
Yes, I do that. That's my big takeaway. My big takeaway from last night. Do it more, people. Grown adult males in our audience. Reach out. It's worth it.
I hope
the
you
more you know.
It's one to grow on.
But you had a nice time, even with the everyone being hungry?
Dude, and the Clay Bellinger, or the Cody Bellinger, Clay was his dad, the Cody Bellinger home run was just amazing. Taking the Dodgers really from the brink of elimination. That is a series saver, and it was epic. I loved this from Jason Stark.
And he sends one high and deep.
Oh, that was,
Ron Darling cheering it on.
Yeah, he's happy about it.
Yeah.
A little excitement.
You know what? It means more baseball. At this point, like, you're also cheering for a longer series. You know, there's two games today. It doesn't – this might be our last two-game day, depending on how things go. You know? Or do we get one more?
That'd be devastating.
One more. Yeah. You're such a jackass. You really are. You make me want football to suck, and I like football, but my only way to get back at you seems to be to root against football as a concept.
Yep.
I need another avenue.
Yeah, that's not going to be a winning argument.
I know. Plus, I don't really want to win that. You know what I mean?
Of course.
The thing is, I wish you liked hockey. I wish you liked hockey, and you were a miserable Blackhawks fan 4 games in, and you wanted your coach fired already. That's what I wish.
Sorry. Sorry, I can't provide you that easy avenue to exploit my misery. Mark Grody in studio. Justin Fields in his own words on where he feels like he's progressing week to week. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.